and the pixie had thought Scion was in trouble. Maybe there was an unconscious trigger. Richter clapped both hands suddenly near Sapir's hovering form and shouted, "Shark!" Sapir shot back several feet. While he darted back, he changed. The celestial pixies normally had fine features and slightly pointed ears. Despite their silver skin, though, they looked like a simple mix of elf and human, albeit on a much smaller scale. Cute and pretty were the words that came to Richter's mind when he was looking at them. Now, however, the first word he thought of was fierce. The celestial pixie's face had grown gaunt and sharp teeth could be seen behind his half-snarl. Sapir's ears were more pointed, and his silver fingers now ended in sharp talons. Perhaps the biggest change were his wings. Pixie wings always seemed delicate to Richter. It was easy to see the tracings of vessels flowing through the thin membranes. Now, however, the wings looked like metal. They were moving too fast for Richter to be sure, but he thought they had a sharp edge. Scion rushed up and let the agitated pixie land on his hand. "My Metu Maidon is not a toy, Richter," says the man who just shot an arrow into my chest, Richter said. Scion didn't have an answer for that, but he still wasn't pleased. Richter sighed and said, "I'm sorry, Sapir. I was just trying to help you change. Let me say that you did a great job. Your battle form is amazing." Richter thought he was laying it on a bit thick, but Sapir did calm down. Speaking softly now, Richter kept speaking simple platitudes as he plucked a piece of grass from the ground. He moved closer to the pixie that started quivering at his proximity, but Sapir stayed still. The Chaos Seed brushed the grass clipping against Sapir's wing and smiled, as even that light contact caused the grass to shear in half. The pixie's wings were razor sharp. Richter suddenly felt a great deal better about the race's chances for surviving in the land. After that, he and Scion simply spoke comfortingly to Sapir. What fully calmed the pixie down was Alma landing on Richter's arm and then licking the pixie's face. The boy predictably said, "Yuck!" as he wiped off Dragonling drool. Alma playfully blew a light gust of air at the pixie, who giggled and transformed back into a simple pixie child. Alma took off through the air with Sapir in pursuit. Soon the air above Richter and Scion was alive with blurs of color and the shrieks of small children as they played with the beautiful ignorance of youth. Chapter 36, Day 119, Qaborn 9, 15,368 EBG. A few minutes later, another Maidon dissolved. As opposed to revealing a pillar of yellow stone this time, Richter saw what looked like a statue covered with shining gold cloth. A moment later, the cloth lifted into the air, disappearing as it did so. Underneath were the Sprite Guard and his bonded life pixie. The Sprite Guard went through the same antics that Scion had had to deal with. The two companions were able to get his armor off in short order, though. Luckily, Sapir helped this time, and neither of the companions were attacked by a life pixie in battle form. The two friends looked at each other and had the same thought. Remove your armor before you bond. Important safety tip. Not much later, a third Maidon appeared, and Sumiko was brought back to the village. The life mage didn't have to go through what the warriors had, seeing as how she was only wearing a simple robe of gold and white. When she stood, Richter could see that she had gained the same height as Scion and the other sprite Metu Maidon, but that wasn't the only change. Sumiko had always had long white hair, and while her face still had the childlike smoothness of all sprites, her crotchety nature had made him think of her as a grandmother. That wasn't what Richter thought when he saw her stand now. She threw out her hands to shout her rebirth in conjunction with her pixie. Then, Richter was never sure if he had imagined this or not, but she did the slow headshake thing hot girls with long hair did when they were walking out of the ocean. Her hair had changed to blonde white and no longer looked aged, but instead appeared slightly exotic. She reminded him of someone that he couldn't place, but either way, she was looking good. Sumiko turned toward him and picked up the cane that had been trapped in the Maidon with her. She walked towards Richter with an ease in her step that she hadn't had before, and her white linen shirt stretched out in two very key places that he didn't remember being so interesting before. She walked without support, but when she got close to Richter, she put the cane to good use. Gently placing it under the Chaos Seed's chin, she pushed up slightly and said,
"My eyes are up here, Lord Richter."
Then she walked, almost sashayed past him, and very deliberately threw her cane away. Sion coughed as Richter continued to stare at the youthful transformation the Life Mage had undergone, but the Chaos Seed paid it no mind. He just absently scanned his vision to see if another prompt would appear, promising an increase in population growth. Chapter 37, Day 119, Qu'Born 9, 15,368 EVG. After Sumiko had walked away, trailed by her pixie, he walked back down to the village. The only thing that held him up was that the Maidon sprite wanted to speak with him. Richter finally learned his name and that of his pixie.
"Lord Richter," Dissot said, "I know that Curia and all of her people have sworn fealty to you. I am bound to my pixie for life. If you will have me, I will pledge my bow to your service. I only ask that you allow me to continue to man my post, protecting the quickening until I am relieved by the Hearth Mother."
To say that Richter had been shocked would have been an understatement. It wasn't like he would turn up his nose to the service of an experienced sprite archer, but he didn't want any problems with Hisako. The wood sprites were his strongest and only ally. The Hearth Mother was generous, but she might feel a certain kind of way if she thought he was poaching her fighters. He answered somewhat carefully. "I am honored, Dissot. I would be lucky to have your strength on my side. I am worried, however, that I would offend Hisako by taking one of her strongest warriors." Dissot looked confused and answered as if what he was saying was common knowledge.
"Every sprite has the right to choose his own path and follow his own destiny, Lord Richter. My path has led here, and my destiny will forever be tied to Curia. If you do not wish me in your service, I will accept that, but I then beseech you to allow me to stay near the village so I can be close to my Maitu Maidon."
Richter looked to Sion for help. The sprite seemed to understand and simply said, "We all follow the will of the forest." Richter rolled his eyes, thinking, "Thanks, Yoda." He thought he understood what his friend was trying to say, though. The Chaos Seed was distracted for a moment by the sound of a tinkling bell heard up in the canopy, followed by laughter, but when he looked up, he saw nothing. Turning back to Dissot, he formally said, "Speak the words." Dissot went down on one knee and intoned the words of fealty.
"I formally swear allegiance and loyalty to you, my Lord Richter. From now until my very death, I will protect you and your interests to the best of my ability and without deceit."
Richter rested his hand on Dissot's shoulder. "I accept your oath of fealty, and swear to honor your pledge with the same gravity in which it was given." After that was done, Richter suggested that the two sprites go to the forge and see about being outfitted with armor that fit, or at the very least trying to fix the straps on their old gear. Sion just smiled and said that it wouldn't be an issue. His companion walked off to the dragon's cauldron to brew some potions. Dissot affirmed that their armor wouldn't be a problem and then followed Richter's next set of instructions to go and put himself under Tirad's command. When the Chaos Seed asked why neither of the sprites were concerned by the fact that their armor didn't fit anymore, Dissot just shrugged and said,
"The Hearth Mother will be here soon."
Richter decided that if they weren't worried, then he wouldn't be either. Besides, something exciting was happening in the village. The construction crew was finishing the workshop. Richter rushed back down to the village and reformed his small construction crew under Roswan's direction. The increase in village productivity had let the crew power the construction through and get a great deal of work done over the last 10 days. Richter was also able to learn more about construction. In a rare occurrence of communication, Roswan strung an entire sentence together, remarking they could have finished the project earlier if they had simply used wood as opposed to stone. Richter had asked him why they had gone with stone then. Surprisingly, the elf's answer was clear and concise.
"We've already been attacked once and had the longhouse burned down. Don't want the same thing to happen here. Also wanted to build a proper workshop. If we had built using only wood, then the best we could have made would have been a workman's shed. This here is a true level one workshop.
Richter had decided to push his luck and asked, What is a level two workshop? Roswan had fixed him with a glare and said,
The next level.
Richter then decided to quit while he was still ahead and had gotten back to work. That hard work was about to pay off. After getting back to the build site, he asked Roswan where he could be useful and went where he was instructed. Several hours later, the last stone was set. The workshop was built like a capital T. The primary building material was marbled quartz, but well-polished wood could be seen through the construction as well. The white stone gleamed dully in the mist light. Windows had been installed at regular intervals in the walls, ensuring that air could freely circulate. Each window also had stout wooden shutters that could be battened shut against the storms Sion had promised him would come in winter. A small fireplace was situated in the back wall, and a chimney peeked up over the wooden roof. The building had a beautiful simplicity. As Richter gazed at it in appreciation, prompts appeared. Know this, you have built a fully functional workshop, level one. Your settlement will now enjoy the building bonus of increased production and durability from having such a building. Know this, up-to-date information is now available for your village buildings. 1. Longhouse, wooden. Durability, 1,272 of 1,272. Houses 30, 60, or 90 people, luxuriously, comfortably, overcrowded. Quality, well-built, times 5. 2. Livestock pen, wooden. Durability, 170 of 170, 60 by 20 yards. Quality, above average, times 4. 3. Scaff pen, steel net. Durability, 613 of 614. Circular pen, 20 yards in diameter. Quality, well-crafted. 4. Walls, mix of earthwork and marbled quartz, 5 feet tall. A. Types. 1. Hard-packed earthworks, 53%. Durability, variable due to variation in building quality. Building quality, slum to well-crafted. 2. Marbled quartz, 47%. Durability, 15,225 of 15,225. Building quality, well-built. B. Plus 10% defense for defenders, 2% per foot. C. Plus 15% line of sight, 3% per foot. 5. Ship cradle, wooden. Durability, 156 of 163. Building quality, poorly made. A. Building bonus, plus 0% shipbuilding speed bonus, 0% bonus to ship stats. 6. Inner trench, 20 feet deep by 30 feet wide, lined with wooden stakes. 7. Outer trench, 10 feet deep by 10 feet wide, lined with wooden stakes. 8. Earthwork towers, durability 276 of 276, building quality slum, plus 60% line of sight, 3% per foot. 9. Rudimentary gravel roads, plus 6% travel speed while on gravel roads. 10. Forge of Heavens, Elementum. Durability, 5,500,000 of 5,500,000, asterisk. Building quality, core. A. Access title for more information. B. Asterisk indicates this is a self-healing building. 11. Dragon's Cauldron, aged glass. Durability, 8,000,000 of 8,000,000, asterisk. Building quality, core. A. Access title for more information. B. Asterisk indicates this is a self-healing building. 12. Workshop Level 1. Durability 15,988 of 15,988. Building quality, well built. A. Building bonus. 1. Plus 1.2% chance of a building being spontaneously increased one quality level on completion. 2. 12% increase to production when erecting buildings. 3. 12% increase to village building durability. Congratulations! You have completed the quest, Every Tool Has Its Place. You have created a level 1 workshop. As this was a villager-supplied quest, it will aid in the progression of your administration skill. Reward, 1,250 experience points. Reward, +5 village-wide loyalty. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 8 in administration. +1% to morale, loyalty, and production for your village. Congratulations, you have reached sub-skill level 6 in lead from the front. +1% productivity for projects that you help construct yourself. Richter was blown away. Another 12% productivity for creating more buildings? That was awesome! He did some quick math. His admin skill was giving +8% to production. His lead from the front sub-skill gave another 6%. The fact that the village loyalty had increased to dependable gave a 20% production boost, and the new morale level of happy gave another 10%. When you added the 12% from the workshop and the 6% from having given Roswan the village job of builder, it meant his people could now build 62% faster than they could at baseline. With the hundreds of mist workers he could summon every day, that meant buku buildings! Richter dismissed all of the prompts, excited and motivated to start on the next project. He looked at Roswan and asked, "So what do we do now? What's next?" Roswan gave back his customary almost glare and said, "Ale." Then the elf just started walking away. Everyone dispersed after the construction chief. Richter shrugged. When the man had a good idea, the man had a good idea. It's Miller time! Chapter 38, Day 119, Kuborn 9, 15,368, EBG. Richter rode the high from finishing the workshop for a while and even got Roswan to talk a bit more. The elf agreed to start building the healer's hut in the morning. Richter asked the builder if they would use stone, but Roswan just grunted and said there wasn't a point. Once again, the one topic the builder seemed willing to converse about was construction. "I do not know the plans or have the blueprint to build a level 1 house of healing. There would not be any extra bonus. Almost any type of building can be built as a shed without blueprints, though, and the village will still get the minimum building bonus, so wood will be good enough, and it will go up faster. If we keep the same pace, we might be able to raise it in 4 to 5 days. Richter was more than pleased that they could build Sumiko's clinic quickly. For a moment, he got lost in thought about exactly how much he would like to please the revitalized sprite, and exactly how she might express her appreciation. Once his musings reached completion, he gave a faintly pleased sigh and then focused back on the mustached elf. Roswan was staring at him in concern and confusion over what had just happened, but Richter didn't let that slow him down. "I'm happy that we can get it done so quickly. But how do we get the plans for a level 1 building?" Roswan took a large bite of the eggs that were part of his contract as the village builder. The elf slowly chewed, his mouth moving in a left-to-right circle as he made eye contact with the chaos seed. Richter was momentarily mesmerized by the motion of the elf's thick caterpillar mustache that looked like it was doing that old 80s dance, the worm. After a moment or two, Richter realized that he had been staring intently at the man's mouth and looked around to see if anyone else had noticed. It didn't appear that the awkward moment had been observed, but Roswan seemed determined to pay the chaos seed back for his earlier lapse in concentration. The builder kept eye contact as he chewed. Richter started to get uncomfortable, and the feeling wasn't helped by his realization that the only thing that would make the moment more icky and uncomfortable would have been if the builder was eating a banana. Not even Roswan would break that cardinal rule, though, Richter told himself. You never make eye contact when you're eating a banana. After an eternity, Roswan swallowed the trough of eggs he had put in his mouth and answered, "You could always buy the blueprints. My skill level in construction should be high enough to raise almost any level 1 building. Normally only builder guilds will sell these plans, however, and your relationship with the guild must be friendly or better most of the time. Even then, the cost is high, or The conversation ground to a halt again as Roswan slowly shoved two whole pieces of bacon into his mouth and started chewing. At least he's not making eye contact this time, Richter thought. Once the elf stopped gnawing on the pork strips, he started talking again.
Or we could build the scholar's hut. Those scholars you have writing stuff down would probably be able to get some research done, and they might be able to figure out the plans of some level one buildings.
Richter sat back and let the elf eat. Unfortunately, what he was feeling now was a familiar emotion from his childhood. Even though he had loved playing strategy and RTS games as much as VRRPGs, there had always been an agonizing tension. That stemmed from the age-old quandary of allocation of resources. In almost any strategy sim, you had to make choices about what direction you wanted your settlement to develop in. On the one hand, you could spread your resources out and develop a village or a civilization that equally balanced all facets of its society. Invest in military, then economics, then infrastructure, then circle back to the military. The plus side of that strategy was that you didn't have a glaring hole in your development. It was a conservative way to play, though, and had never really been Richter's style. The other side of the coin was to develop heavily in one area until you could get a bonus or an edge that you could use against your opponents. Instead of investing in science to get better weapons, you could just make 100 low-level warriors and swarm a neighboring settlement. The downside was that if that attack failed and your opponent had invested in science, suddenly your club-wielding fighters were getting totally owned by guys in steel armor. Right now, Richter had to make a decision about the building order for his construction crew. He had thought before about building the healer's hut first because having a life mage as the village's official healer was a real boon. Richter harbored a real desire to get whatever building bonus could come from having a healer's hut to augment Sumiko's already powerful abilities. Every day that he didn't have a place for research to be done, though, was a day that his village wasn't moving forward technologically. The same argument could be made for getting a barracks built ASAP. Who knew how much more effective his strike teams could be with a formal training area? The barracks could also serve as a secondary housing structure. From his new understanding of the longhouses, they each had a max occupancy of 90 people, and that meant if everyone had to live in the five structures, they would be overcrowded and still be insufficient for his needs. Richter knew that since it was near midsummer, many people slept outside to enjoy the temperate weather, so it wasn't an issue yet. He could foresee housing being a problem when it got colder, though. Somehow he had a feeling that if his people were overcrowded for months on end, there would be consequences. It would most likely start with a drop in morale, but could also possibly allow for the spread of disease, and those two eventualities were just off the top of his head. So while his people ate and drank around him, Richter rethought the building order. Walls for defense, a tavern for morale, a market for economy, a research building for science. There was so much to be done. He spoke with Randolphus, Sumiko, Sion, and several other people about the village's needs and priorities. He finally based his decision after he got support from an unexpected source. Richter had just finished lamenting to Randolphus that anything they built would only be a shed when Bartle spoke up. The scribe said that he had spent most of his life living inside his guild house. Apparently it was not uncommon for guilds to accept young children with promise and raise them, getting years of service in exchange. As part of his training, Bartle had worked with a guild deputy who had a focus in architecture. The scholar didn't remember everything, but seemed fairly certain that he could recreate the blueprint for at least a level one research facility if he worked with Roswan. The taciturn elf just chewed eggs while he looked at Bartle, but finally stood up and said,
"Come with me."
The two walked off to an empty table and started sketching. With the question of what to build next decided, Richter threw himself into having a good time. Hours later, Lorala was sitting on his lap, laughing at a particularly bad joke, when Richter stood up suddenly. The shapely elf nearly fell to the ground. She groused her displeasure and swatted him on the behind, but Richter barely noticed. With a constitution of 56, he had to work hard to get a good buzz going, and now that he had one, he wasn't about to let it go to waste. Besides, he had someone to greet.
Bayon! Welcome back! Richter laughed raucously and threw an arm around the gnome's shoulders before pulling back. Why the hell are you so dirty? The death mage shrugged his lord's arm off and started speaking in an irritated voice.
I am dirty because I just got back from my trial, and for some reason I was released in midair, 10 feet above the outer trench. I am now a professed alchemist, by the way. Thank you so very much for asking, he said sarcastically. As soon as Nexus told me of my success, a portal opened and I was sucked through. I fell the 10 feet to the lip of the trench, and then the other 10 to the bottom of the ditch. That was almost the least of my worries, because I nearly got a sharpened stake up my butt.
Richter was openly laughing now, which clearly irritated Bayon, but the gnome still wasn't done with his story.
I was finally able to climb out of the trench, not the easiest thing to do when the walls are steep, and it's night, by the way, and I started walking towards the village. The next thing I know, one of your moron guards is running at me with her sword raised, shouting, Monster! If it wasn't for the fact that I ran into the light of one of those gray globes and that her squad leader stopped her, the damn fool might have cut my head off.
Tears were coming down Richter's face.
I finally got inside the gate and decided to come here and eat because I'm starving. That is why I'm so dirty, my lord.
Bayon clearly did not appreciate Richter's lack of empathy. After a few moments, Richter got himself under control and said, I'm happy you're back, Bayon, and I'm sorry I laughed. If it makes you feel any better, I know exactly how much of an asshole Nexus can be. Bayon's face wrinkled in confusion.
I do not know what you mean, my lord. Admittedly, the location of my portal home was unfortunate, but I am sure that was simply bad luck. Auditor Nexus was a wonderful host.
What the hell are you talking about? What do you mean, auditor? That had been what Nexus had called himself when he had taken Allura to her trial.
Auditor, my lord.
Bayon's slow cadence made it clear that what he was saying should have been obvious. When he saw that Richter was still looking at him with a confused and ale-addled expression, he explained further.
Auditors are beings tied to the land. In any given location, a person undergoing a trial will have it administered by the auditor for that area. The auditor for the Mist Village is Nexus. I personally found him to be wonderful company.
Richter shook his head. He had to be mishearing the man. Are you talking about a black-skinned giant? Gold eyes?
Yes, Bayon said. A truly wonderful man.
What? What did you guys do during your trial? Richter asked.
My lord, I am sure you know that the magical nature of the trial prevents me from discussing details.
Richter nodded. He had actually been wondering about that. A few times he had tried to speak with Randolphus or Sion about his torture at the hands of Nexus, but he had never quite seemed to be able to. From what Bayon was now saying, the trial must impose a gesh upon anyone who underwent it that prevented them from sharing details. Bayon looked thoughtful for a moment, then he smiled.
I believe that I can share one thing, however.
At seeing Richter's raised eyebrows, Bayon started talking again, though he chuckled a few times first. Even though Richter wasn't sure why the gnome had such a seemingly easy time during his trial, he was looking forward to whatever this story was. It seemed hilarious.
This is actually a story that Nexus told me, Bayon started. It was, after I said the ritual words, I am alchemist, then he...
Wait, what? Richter interjected.
Ritual words? Yes, my lord.
Bayon's voice had that tone again that implied what he was saying was obvious.
The words to guide your trial.
Richter just nodded, not wanting to further interrupt the story.
As I was saying, I told Nexus I am alchemist to begin my trial, but before he began testing my knowledge and skill, he smiled and said he would share a story.
Bayon laughed aloud again as he recalled the memory.
You will not believe this, my lord, but some idiot not only didn't say the ritual words, but he actually challenged the auditor to a fight.
Richter's face started to go red.
I think I can only share this because Nexus specifically said that I could tell this story. Obviously, I did not believe him at first. I mean, who would be dumb enough to actually challenge an auditor? It was just like that children's story, the professional moron.
Bayon laughed again, holding his sides this time. Richter started to hear a high-pitched ringing in his ears. That, along with his drunken state, drowned out his self-control. Bayon went right on speaking, oblivious to the maelstrom he was summoning.
I mean, what kind of dumb asshole would challenge such a powerful being in the heart of its own realm? Can you believe that, my lord? That person would have to be the stupidest, ugliest, fuck...
Whatever else Bayon was going to say was lost to history when Richter tackled him. The Death Mage went down, and Richter fell right on top of him, continuing the attack. Sion body-checked his friend a few moments later, but not before all the villagers got a show of their lord, shaking Bayon and shouting,
"You think you're better than me? You think you're better than me?"
Chapter 39, Day 120, Qyburn 10, 15,368 EBG. Richter awoke the next day with a headache. Memories of the night before started filtering back into his consciousness, and he groaned, both from the hangover and from remembering that he now owed Bayon an apology. He stumbled out of bed, leaving a sleeping Lorala twisted in the sheets. Thankfully, there was no giant snake to lick him this time. Futin was waiting by the door and started giving him various reports. Richter jogged outside, barely listening, and made use of the latrine. Once he was done, Alma flew up to land on his shoulders. Luckily, Futin knew where Bayon was, and so, following the remnant's instructions, Richter headed for the dragon's cauldron. When he got to the top of the hill, however, he saw a host of his villagers gathered in the distance around the quickening. Curious, he jogged to the northern end of the meadow and discovered what was so interesting. All of the pixies were singing. Wings of blue, yellow, black, and gold flew in circles around a central figure. The song spoke of love, welcome, and homecoming. The central figure was, of course, Alora. Richter smiled up at his companion, who basked in the love of her children. The song went on for long minutes and brought a sense of peace and joy. A thought occurred to him, and he checked his personal interface. Sure enough, he had received a buff. Song of Homecoming. Queen Alora is welcomed back by her children after she has undergone her trial. The joy of the celestial pixies soothes all hurts and acts as a balm for troubled souls. Those who hear this song will have a positive outlook for the rest of the day. Looking around, all of his people had smiles on their faces. A prompt appeared when the song ended that showed that morale had increased for everyone present by plus 50 for the next 24 hours. The buff was temporary, unlike the sprite's song of joy and remembrance, but it was still more than welcome. In that moment, Richter knew that despite what the future might bring, he had made the right choice in allowing Alora to bond with the quickening. It had also helped banish his hangover, he noted happily. The Pixie Queen flew down to greet him. He used Analyze, and his smile grew even wider. "I see you have returned, my lady," Richter said with a smile.
"I have,"
she said with joy in her voice.
"I have found my profession."
Richter nodded happily. He already knew, though, because that had been what made him smile initially when he analyzed her. Her status page was the same as before, but with an important addition. Profession, herbalist.
"It is wonderful,"
Alora said.
"Odidon Exis took me to a realm filled with plants. He adopted the form of a beautiful black butterfly, and we flew through a garden the size of an entire world. For weeks, we just floated through the flowering paradise. At the end of my trial, he even told me that because I had not allocated my characteristic points from the levels that I had gained while in the cocoon, I would get all of the talent points for each of them. You are truly blessed to have such a benevolent being as the auditor for your domain, my lord."
Richter kept a fake smile on his face, but had to struggle against the urge to scream at her. "How can you fall for that? Are you a moron? That's just a game! He's playing you!" He didn't, though, just making small talk for a few more minutes. He was happy that she had so many TPs to play with. Something occurred to him, though, and he urged her to allocate her points quickly before her time ran out and they were randomly allotted. She smiled and just told him not to worry. Apparently, Nexus shared that he could completely control the flow of time in his dimension, and he had altered it so that she still had days to decide where to put her points. Richter's eye began to twitch. Ultimately, she broke off the conversation and went in search of Isabella, eager to use her new profession to help in the garden. Richter left the quickening, shaking in silent rage about Nexus, and went off to find Bayan and apologize for getting upset about Nexus. The irony was not lost on him. He found the gnome in the dragon's cauldron, and from what he could hear, Tabia was already asserting dominance. Richter took a sadistic satisfaction from the knowledge that he wasn't the only one having a shitty morning. As he listened, a faint smile crossed his face as he realized that in one move, he might be able to make up for last night and avoid having to eat too much crow. Richter walked into the cauldron and simply observed Tabia dressing Bayan down for a few seconds. When they both looked over, Tabia with a questioning expression and Bayan with a beseeching one, he simply nodded magnanimously and gestured for them to continue. A look of brutal glee crossed the elf maid's face, and she unleashed the full force of her sharp tongue on the gnome's bald head. Richter let the beating go on for a few more minutes. Then he made his move. Tabia, I want to congratulate you again on winning the quest.
Thank you, my lord, she replied with a bow of her head.
As Richter spoke, he swung his hands in large arcs, indicating various portions of the cauldron. I think what you have accomplished is amazing. The gaseous potion, not to mention the luck potions that will be coming soon. I just have to say that you are wonderful. I think it is great that you don't mind sacrificing your own alchemy progression to serve the village.
Yes. Of course not, Lord Richter,
Tabia agreed. She went from basking in his warm praise to feeling a bit off kilter by his last comment. Richter nodded vigorously. I also want to congratulate you on organizing other villagers with the alchemy skill to help out. Though I would never want to disrupt the flow of your operations here, I will of course need to take Bayan with me when the war party goes out daily. He is, after all, our only professed alchemist. What he can add to the village's potions is unique and must be endorsed. I'm sure you understand, Tabia. Even to himself, Richter's tone sounded quite reasonable.
That makes perfect sense, my lord.
Richter shook his head regrettably. I only wish that you and Mimi could find the time to finally go for your own trials. This really would be the perfect time, but I understand your dedication to the cauldron. I'm sure that Bayan won't mind taking more responsibility here as his profession advances. Tabia opened her mouth again, but Richter just smiled and clapped her on the shoulder before walking out. Later that night, both she and her wife met him at dinner and announced that they would like to go for their trials. A large black disc appeared and Nexus exited dressed like a punk rocker. His golden hair had been shaved on the sides, and the middle strip was a pointy mohawk that stuck a foot up into the air. He wore blue jeans, red all-stars, and jean jacket with safety pins in it that had the phrases Salt Lake City Rules inked on the back with a black Sharpie. Everyone in the feast area stared at the irascible being in shock and surprise. Nexus just sniffed disdainfully.
If it's too loud, then you're too old.
He looked at Tabia and Mimi and said,
Come on, babes, let's rock.
Then he walked back through the black portal, disappearing. It was obvious that neither of the statuesque elven women liked being called babes, but it was also clear that they were smarter than Richter and decided not to antagonize their auditor. Tabia handed Richter a small wooden box that made tinkling sounds when it moved. Then the two elves walked into the black portal, holding hands. It disappeared soon after. Conversation resumed in the feast area. The sight of individuals going for their trials was now so commonplace that it didn't cause a great stir. Bayan walked over to Richter. One of the gnome's eyes was blackened from their scuffle the night before, and he had a slight bruise on his cheek. For a few moments later, the two men just stood there, looking at each other. Then, a broad grin appeared on the deaf mage's face, and he stuck his hand out.
Apology accepted, my lord.
Richter grinned right back and said, I'm glad you got that I did it for you, buddy. Us deaf magi need to stick together, right? He clasped wrists with Bayan, but then tightened his grip and pulled the gnome in close. The smile stayed on his face for the benefit of anyone that was watching, but his tone was deadly serious. But if you tell anyone that fucking story again, I'll kill you. Bayan pulled back with a shocked look. The Chaos Seed let go of the mage's wrist and, with a manic grin, said, Huzzah! Before walking off. As Richter went to pour himself another mug of ale, he reflected that it had been a good day. He'd apologized to Bayon, gotten more training done, started construction on the level one house of scholarship, and with any luck, in a week, he would have two more lesbian professionals. A solid win in anyone's book. Chapter 40, Day 121, Kuborn 11, 15,368 EBG. All was right in the Mist Village. It turned out that the box Tabia had handed over had been filled with his long-awaited luck potions. You have found Potion of Selix Luck. Potion class, scarce. Potion level, elixir. Strength, refined. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. Swallowing this potion will give you the luck of its creator. The alchemist Selic was a middling alchemist, but on an ill-fated trip he was attacked by ogres on a ship that sank and trapped him in a town that was decimated by the Weeping Plague. He survived it all and is reported to have discovered the formulation for this potion while waiting to be released from quarantine. Increases the imbiber's luck by plus 32 for 3 hours and 49 minutes, times 40. Richter's fingers immediately began tingling as he thought of all of the things he could accomplish now. He dove back into his training with renewed gusto and was able to scribe the last of the level 1 spells from his air and life magi. Congratulations! You have learned the spell Summon Weak Luminous Butterflies. Summons a small number of glowing butterflies. Any creature of positive alignment who catches one of these butterflies will have a boost to their stamina for one day. Total boost equal to 1% per number of alignment. Only one butterfly may affect each individual. This is a spell of life, level 1. Cost 17 mana. Duration 10 minutes. Range 1 foot. Cast time 1 second. Cooldown 1 minute. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Call Weak Small Creature. If there is a non-sentient creature of small size, 2 to 4 feet long in the immediate area, it will be called to the caster, and it will follow simple commands. This is a spell of life, level 1. Cost 12 mana. Duration, 10 minutes. Range, 50 feet. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 14 minutes. His inner free market American rose up for a moment again, but another part of him knew this was short-sighted. The potential benefit to the village was massive. Also, all of his magi had sworn fealty, and so he knew they wouldn't be leaving at the end of the year. Each and every one of his 23 adult air magi had the spells Glitter Dust, Weak Air Push, Gentle Rain, Weak Haste, and Weak Errant Wind. He made sure that the 11 children with air magic knew everything except the first two. He also taught his 32 grown life casters Weak Charm, Weak Slow Heal, Weak Cure Poison, Weak Cure Disease, Soul Trap, Weak Life Armor, Weak Life Aura, Weak Courage, Summon Weak Life Wisp, Weak Banish Undead, Minor Stabilize, Summon Weak Luminous Butterfly, Call Weak Small Creature, Weak Detect Hostile Intent, and Weak Life Bolts. Richter was stunned by the number of life spells he had been able to amass, even if they were all low-level. He supposed that was what happened when you made allies with a life master, though. The children with life magic were given all of the spells except for the offensive spell, Weak Life Bolts. The one other person he taught his spells to was Alora. Richter passed along the knowledge for all of his level 1 life, dark, water, and air spells. She beamed when she received his gifts and promised to practice her magic every day. Checking his action log, he saw that he had gained interpersonal points with the Pixie Queen again, though not enough to increase their relationship rank. As the days passed, more sprites showed up and created more Maidons. The first silver shells continued to dissolve and release tall sprites and pixies that could use the ability Battle Form. Those bonded to water pixies were encased in a pillar of fluid that slowly drained away, revealing the Maidons, and those bonded to dark pixies appeared as a silhouette that drew in all light. The blackness would then slowly be supplanted by light, like a darkened mountain being revealed by sunrise. To the last, every sprite birthed from the silver eggs swore fealty to Richter. The effectiveness of the Mist Village's fighting force swelled. In addition to increasing the settlement's martial strength, Richter made an amazing discovery when he was speaking with one of the Maedon sprites. The forest sprite revealed that she knew a simple earth spell, weak thorns underfoot. It was a level one earth spell that would create a 30-by-30-yard area on the ground that was irregularly studded with thorns for a few minutes. It wouldn't bother anyone with stout boots, but it would make movement painful for animals or anyone with soft shoes. Upon hearing that she had magical ability, Richter asked if she knew any spells. The sprite shook her head and said that she had had to struggle to learn that one earth spell and hadn't had any affinity with the other basic elements. Richter nodded and was going to walk away, but then on impulse, leaned in, placed one hand on her head and the other on her chest. The sprite was startled, but she did not resist her new lord. Richter spoke the words. By the right of my power, I awaken your power. Warmth kindled in his chest and spread down his arms. The feeling passed from him, into her, and magic was kindled in her soul. She looked up at him with wonder on her face. Your relationship with Setiona has improved from pleased to friendly. Setiona told him that she had gained the skill air magic. Not only that, she had an affinity of 100%. Richter had no idea how strong her skill would ultimately be, but he excitedly sent Futin and two nearby guards to gather all of the Maedon sprites. Most resided under the canopy of the quickening, so he did not have to wait long for them to return. In the meantime, Setiona told him that she had learned an interesting spell called Weak-Aided Flight. The spell would only be useful to ranged fighters, but it was potentially powerful. The spell took 3 seconds to cast, a long time for a level one spell, but it lasted for 30 minutes. For the duration of the spells, it made any projectile shot by the spell recipient fly forward 10% faster than otherwise. The gears in Richter's mind started turning. If force still equaled mass times acceleration in the land, then the spell would not only make it harder for enemies to avoid arrows, it would also increase the kinetic payload when the blow landed. Richter tried to awaken life magic in Setiona as well, but nothing happened. He had a theory to test, but needed to wait for the other Maitu Maedon. 9 others had emerged from the silver shells, 3 air, 2 life, 1 dark, and 3 water. Once they were all assembled, he was ecstatic that he was able to awaken the corresponding magic in the sprites that had bonded to air and life pixies. Even better, each sprite had a 100% affinity. It was true that Sion had enjoyed an increase in his air magic affinity, but now it seemed that the celestial pixies gave any sprite they bonded to a starting affinity of 100. He taught the 5 of them the level 1 spells he knew. Unfortunately, the rest hadn't obtained any magic that he didn't know when he awakened their powers. In retrospect, he realized that luck might play a role in this. He didn't have enough luck potions to give each Maedon sprite a vial before awakening their magic, but he decided that he would imbibe one the next time he awakened anyone's magic. The dark sprite he sent to Quasia, hoping she could teach him to use his presumed dark magic skill. The water mage he couldn't help, but he resolved to scribe a book of slow at his earliest opportunity. Richter immediately took Setiona to the scribe's office and began scribing her air spell. Over the past several days, his air magic level had increased to level 14, and his scribing ability had reached level 8. With that, his old writ writing technique and his faster creation time talent, it made the time required to create the spellbooks almost ridiculously short. It appears you wish to create the spellbook Book of Weak-Aided Flight. This level 1 spell will require 1 hour and 2 minutes of scribing time to complete. You will have 14 days to complete this task. Do you wish to start? Yes or no? Yeah, Richter thought with a smile. He selected yes and got to work. Once the required time had passed, he got started on her earth spell. His earth magic was only level 9, but it still took almost no time for him to write the spellbook and then learn the spell himself. More days passed. Richter kept to his schedule of smithing, enchanting, patrolling, building, scribing, and skill grinding. The belt of sustenance proved to be one of his most powerful items. With the reduced amount of sleep required, he was able to work for almost 20 solid hours each day. Minus the necessary functions of life, of course, and minus a few unnecessary functions when one of his paramours gave him the look. His spell skill levels kept advancing every few days. He was finally able to get his fire magic up to level 12 after burning a large lizard that attacked his war party. It had required fighting almost exclusively with his spell Flame for several days, but it finally happened. With a look of pure glee, he withdrew the Book of Weak Fireball from his bag. Richter started reading, and as always, the pages began to turn on their own as the knowledge streamed into his mind. The book slammed shut, fell to dust, and he knew. Congratulations! You have reached levels 11 and 12 in fire magic. New spells are now available. You have received 1,250 bonus experience for reaching level 10 in the skill fire magic. Congratulations! You have advanced from novice to initiate in fire magic. Plus 5% resistance to fire magic. Plus 5% spell strength when casting fire magic. Congratulations, you have learned the spell Weak Fireball. Fires a ball of flame that detonates upon impact. Flames are spread out from this area, dousing anyone in a 10-meter radius in fire. This is a spell of fire level 12. Cost 79 mana. Duration, 1 second after impact. Range, 100 feet. Cast time, 3 seconds. Cooldown, 10 minutes.
Woot!
Richter said, throwing his fist into the air. Sion looked over from a rock he was sitting on and arched one eyebrow in question.
I finally learned my fireball spell! Back where I come from, people talk about a lot of different kinds of magic and types of spells. There is one Mac Daddy spell that lets people know how big your nuts are, though, and that's if you can throw a fireball!
Richter was grinning from ear to ear. Sion smiled back.
Congratulations, my friend. I am happy for you.
Thanks, he replied.
He looked around for a safe place to cast the spell, but they were in a heavily wooded area.
Just so that I understand, is this a spell that shoots a ball of fire that explodes on contact?
Sion asked innocently.
Yeah,
Richter said, still looking around.
And then the flames spread and have a high chance of burning and lighting things on fire, right?
Yeah,
Richter said, not liking where this was going.
Like all the trees around us?
Sion asked.
Or all the trees that will always be around you because you live in a forest?
The sprite's smile was practically glued to his face.
Yeah,
Richter said in a slightly disappointed and defeated voice.
And you have just realized that you won't be casting that spell very often because you would risk burning down the forest?
Sion asked gently.
Yeah,
Richter said, sounding like he had just heard his puppy was sick.
Yeah,
Sion said slowly. Then he hopped up from his seat and walked away. Richter looked after his friend.
You're a real dick! Do you know that?
Sion just started whistling and threw up two fingers into a peace sign as he continued to walk away. The Chaos Seed glared at him, regretting having taught the sprite about pop culture references. Chapter 41, Day 127, Qborn, 17, 15,368 EBG. The next days followed the same pattern. Whenever a sprite that had felt the pixie call got close, a team was sent out to guide him through the mists, day or night. Richter was not able to be there each time, and some mornings he was surprised to see a new Maedon under the limbs of the quickening, despite not even knowing another sprite had made it safely back to the village. His daily hunting trips also unlocked two new sub-skills of War Leader. The first happened after he and Alma were finishing a solo hunt. When Richter read the prompt, he felt an immediate vindication. Congratulations! You have learned the sub-skill Army of One. Not all battles can be fought with an army around you. Too often in the land, you will find yourself alone. If you cannot put your back to the wall and fight your way out of the dark, the only thing shorter than your life will be the memory you leave behind. You have fought 7 battles without any support personnel and have unlocked this new subskill. You now have access to all promotions that you have earned as a war leader when hunting alone. Available promotions. Vigilant, 1. Plus 5% to perception of future hidden enemies. Plus 5% to response time to future surprise attacks. Sapper, 1. Plus 5% to attack against an entrenched enemy. Subterranean, 1. Plus 5% to defense when fighting underground. Overwhelming odds, 1 and 2. 1. Plus 10 to fighting spirit. 2. Plus 20 to fighting spirit. Know this. At the rank of novice in the subskill Army of One, you will earn only 10% of the war points you would earn if you were leading troops. All of the henpecking he had received for fighting alone seemed suddenly justified. Part of him wanted to run to Randolphus immediately and say, "See, see, fighting alone has its perks!" As good as that might feel, Richter realized that he was just being childish. The feedback he had received from both Tirad and Randolphus had been warranted. Even the tirade Jean's wife had gone into had been a good reminder of his responsibilities. He couldn't take unnecessary risks. His new subskill did also show that there was merit to his argument of growing stronger and being self-reliant as well, though. He looked forward to advancing it. The next subskill appeared after a bloody fight with a pack of Nindani. The beasts were reptilian and had two thickly muscled and clawed arms. The lower half of their body was a powerful tail. What made the fight so difficult was that their scales gave them a partial resistance to most magic. The entire fight had come down to physical combat. There had been 6 of the creatures, and most were level 12 or 13. The pack leader was level 25, though. His war party was hard-pressed during the battle, and there had been a few serious injuries. At the end, though, all of the monsters lay dead, and one of Richter's short swords was sticking out of the Nindani leader's chest. After the battle, a prompt had appeared. Congratulations! You have learned the subskill Beacon. You are not only a leader, you are also a fighter. For the past 7 battles, you have slain the most powerful opponent that your war party faced. This has allowed you to unlock this new subskill. Your actions will now be a focal point of any battle. Your status as champion now gives an increased boost to the fighting spirit of your war party, plus 10 per skill level. Slaying enemy champions will now give a greatly increased boost to the fighting spirit of your war party for the duration of the battle. Conversely, your death in battle will cause massive damage to the fighting spirit of your forces. Richter still didn't understand the importance of champions in battle, except that they were tied to the fighting spirit of those around him. When he received his war leader skill, the prompt had told him that he was now considered a champion. He also remembered that when Yoshi had killed the bugbear raider, Lifalt, the other bugbears suffered a minus 100 to their fighting spirit, while his own forces got a plus 50 bump. His new subskill seemed to make those kind of swings more pronounced. It was easy to see how killing a few champions might turn the tide of a battle. It meant putting himself in danger in battles, but if there was one thing he had learned, it was that safety was an illusion in the land. Like his grandpappy had always said, big risks mean big rewards. His own progression wasn't the only thing of note to happen. It was an exciting time for everyone in the village, and a big event seemed to happen every day. Richter had some excitement himself as he made use of the luck potions. The first thing he did was to finally sacrifice the glass boots of Shockwave to the Forge of Heavens. He watched with extreme gratification as the boots turned to dust and another green light took its place in the heart of the massive green anvil. He was also able to successfully disenchant his arrow of multi-shot and the cobalt mace of mana stealing. He wasn't able to learn those two enchantments, but he was able to glean others. 2 lights, 1 black and 1 red, came to occupy the corner of Richter's mind that held his enchantments. Congratulations! You have learned the enchantment Goblin Slaying. Weapons instilled with this enchantment will do extra damage to goblins. Congratulations! You have learned the enchantment Confusion. Enemies struck with weapons instilled with this enchantment risk being confused to various degrees. Richter also finally sacrificed the poison of nil abilities to the dragon's cauldron. He held his breath while he poured the rare and valuable potion into the central glass cauldron. There was only one measure of the blue liquid left, and if he didn't learn the recipe this time, he wouldn't get a second chance. A moment after he poured it into the cauldron's heart, though, the blue potion was absorbed by the vessels, and it drained into the floor. Tabia had successfully returned from her trial as a professed alchemist and was standing nearby. She